So there is a lot here for us in these readings, and they all fit together under this theme or this image that Jesus begins the gospel that we have today with, that the Father is pleased to give to us as his flock a kingdom. But then let's go now to the end of the gospel, because this makes sense of what he's talking about. And frankly, the end of the gospel probably makes us uncomfortable, right? This whole conversation of there are servants who knew the master's will and didn't do it, so they're beaten severely, but those who didn't know it, and, you know, they're only beaten lightly. What is to be made of this? So Peter's question is the key. Lord, is this parable meant for us or for everyone? Jesus uses a key word in responding to him. Who then is the faithful and prudent steward, right, whom the master will put in charge of his servants? A stewardship is something that would have been known not just in the kingdom of Israel, but in other kingdoms. The steward is the right hand of the king. He should know his king's will. He rules on the king's behalf in his stead. It is his responsibility to organize, to order, and to provide for the other servants, to make sure that they are caught up into the master's will also. And so everything that follows after that is a warning not to the servants, but to the steward, to the one who is failing in his responsibility of making sure that the servants know and are drawn into the will of the master. And so this is why actually the longer warning is given to that steward who says, my master is delayed in coming, and so I'm going to mistreat all of the other servants. I'm going to live high off the hog from them. And Jesus doesn't even go into what kind of punishment awaits that particular failure. So Jesus is seeking to set into right order the kingdom that the Father is seeking to give to us. So he is speaking about the church in this. The kingdom of God in the world is the church. The church is the beginning, the breaking in of the kingdom of heaven into this reality. As we live in the church, we are living in two worlds. Even though St. Paul speaks about those who came before the coming of Christ being strangers and sojourners in this world, he says, we are strangers and sojourners no longer. Not because we're in heaven, but because we're in the kingdom. We're in the kingdom that is the church. Now, I have zero control over what the Holy Father does. You wouldn't know that sometimes from the emails or comments that you get as a priest. Like, I don't know. I don't have a direct phone line to the guy to tell him what I think he should do or what you think he should do, right? That's not mine to determine. I don't have any control over what the archbishop does. I only have the part of the kingdom that Jesus has entrusted to me, which is our parishes. So we should actually take this as an opportunity to reflect on how do our parishes reflect the kingdom. So it is, of course, the responsibility then of the pastor to make sure that the food is distributed at the proper time, the sacraments are provided for, that this is a place where the master's will can come to be known. But then also, all of us share in this work. So we want to avoid the idea that our parishes are just fill-up stations, right, where we stop, we get our sacraments, and then we move on. We want to think that these are manifestations, outposts of the kingdom. In fact, they are so important that we invest in them. Right, so this is why Jesus says, hey, the Father is pleased to give you the kingdom. Sell your belongings, give alms, focus on the treasure that you have in heaven. Where your treasure is, there also will your heart be. So how are we investing? You know, that classic distinction, our time, our talent, our treasure, into our parishes. How is God asking me to do that? And that genuinely is the question that we ponder. And we'll provide opportunities to volunteer. In fact, we could use a lot more volunteers for our parish festival, our parish picnic, but I promise this whole homily isn't just to get people to volunteer for that. But if you want to, call the office tomorrow. But instead, I actually want to go a little deeper, because we sometimes get fixated on doing. And absolutely, we do need volunteers. And absolutely, we do need people to continue to give financially and to give their talents. But then, there is a secret fidelity that brings life, that energizes the parish. And so, as a priest, made the promise to pray the Liturgy of the Hours 5 times a day. And that isn't for my sanctification, it is a responsibility that's placed on each priest for the sake of the people of God entrusted to him. So it's probably pretty rare that you encounter me when I'm saying my office. But in those hidden moments, your spiritual life is meant to be energized by my fidelity to you. This is a promise that I made on my ordination day, something that I'll be judged on my last day. How were you in your fidelity to this, Father? And we hear in the first reading that in secret, the holy children of the good were offering sacrifice and putting into effect with one accord the divine institution. So also, everyone here has the capacity, the responsibility to contribute to the life of the parish in their own spiritual life. There's a saying that throughout history, as bad as things get at different points, it is the fidelity of the hidden and cloistered monks and nuns who preserve the world from being washed away in God's wrath. Or maybe we know of a family member who just consistently through their whole life sacrificed and prayed for the conversion of maybe many members of the family. Maybe your own conversion is the fruit of that hidden fidelity. And I bring this up because I think too often in the church, we talk about making sure we volunteer, making sure we give financially. Sure, all that stuff is important. But then what happens when we are no longer physically able to do that? Or when financially we're not able to do that? What happens when we are experiencing our own weakness and so don't have much in us to be able to give? Are we a waste of space? Do we not matter? Are we second-class citizens in the kingdom? No, in those moments, especially, our identity as the holy children of the good in secret is amplified. And we become like Abraham offering Isaac, as we hear in the second reading, not understanding what God is doing. This is my heir. This is the one through whom the promises of God are to be brought about. So if God is asking me to sacrifice him, then he must be able to fulfill his designs in a way I can't even imagine. So also for us, Lord, I don't have much to give. I don't have a lot of treasure to sell. I don't have time to give the way I want. I'm hurting, and so I'm not able to turn outward right now. Okay. Jesus draws close. Beautiful line in the gospel, that if he comes even late into the night and finds us seeking to be faithful, he takes care of us. The master will gird himself and take care of his servants. So if you find yourself unsure of where you fit in, struggling financially, in terms of the freedom of your time, mentally, emotionally, you are not dead weight on the body of Christ, not a waste in the life of the parish. You may very well be the secret spiritual engine that drives the whole thing by your secret prayer and offering and fidelity to our Lord. And so in a particular way, if it's part of the pastor's responsibility to make sure that everyone else knows what the will of the master is, then in a particular way I am speaking to those of you who find yourselves in that place. We, as the rest of the parishioners, the rest of the body of Immaculate Conception St. Wenceslaus, need the fidelity that you have to offer. And it may not be until we are totally in the kingdom that we see how much you did for the rest of us and for the territory that's been entrusted to us. But Jesus sees it. And Jesus meets you and takes care of you. And so for all of us, whatever role we have in the kingdom that the Father is pleased to give to us, as we draw close to Jesus right now, and receive him in the Eucharist, may we be attentive both to the places that he does desire to take care of us, and to the places and the ways in which he is asking us and us uniquely to give. Whether that giving is seen and known by others, or if it is in secret, it is he who gives power to it. We have seen and are living things that the prophets and the patriarchs longed to see and live and experience. So may we receive that in gratitude and be enlivened to live as members of the kingdom, even as we continue our journey to our true homeland, where we will finally be able to rest in a final way in the love and embrace of the Father who is pleased to share his kingdom with us.